Philadelphia Phillies clinch the postseason with their eye on the NL East title. Let's talk about that and so much more in a crazy weekend of baseball coming up here on First Pitch. Yes, welcome on into First Pitch, your stop for daily MLB recap. I'm your host, Christian Rau. You can find me on Twitter at Christian S. Rau. And as every Saturday, I'm joined by our third man here on the Inside the Baseball Podcast and Network First Pitch, Troy Brock. What's going on, Troy? You can find him on Twitter at Troy Brock. And look at me making you stop in your tracks there. You're excited. And the reason you're excited is because your Philadelphia Phillies have clinched the postseason and with their eyes on a National League East title. With that postseason clinch as well, the Atlanta Braves are officially eliminated from winning the NL East title. So there will be a new division winner in the NL East before the season's over. It obviously looks like it's going to be the Phillies. I don't think that we're going to see another team catch them. But yeah, pretty interesting stuff here, Troy. And yeah. Your thoughts just overall about these Phillies. I know we're digging in here. We're having a good old Saturday episode, and we're glad you guys are along here. But it's going to be a crazy weekend. But before we really dig into some of this stuff, Troy, I want to get your thoughts on this Philly season so far, because I know you've wrote a lot across some different sites about this team. I know you've struggled watching Taeyong Walker, and that's exactly why you brought that excitement out, because he's probably getting a contract extension soon, right?
Oh, well, so, I hope so.
Regardless, what was your thoughts about these Phillies?
Oh, man, it has been a fantastic season in Philadelphia. They have they are tied with the Dodgers right now for the best record in baseball. They do have the tiebreaker over the Dodgers. So if they do wind up having the same record at the end of the season, the Phillies are going to be the number one seed in the National League playoffs. But yeah, like you said, the Phillies need one win or one Mets loss to clinch the National League East, and that could come as early as tonight. They're not going to be hung over from their celebration last night, because all they did was a toast. They didn't have the big celebration, because they are saving that for when they clinch the National League East. And it's been a fantastic season. It's been fun to watch. Not all of it has been fun to watch. Like you said, the Taeyong Walker starts have been a little rough, but the Phillies don't have to worry about the fifth starter in the playoffs. That's not an issue in the playoffs. He's not going to be on the playoff roster. So it's going to be a fun week leading up to October, and October is going to be even more fun for Philadelphia.
Do you think you're going to get another Taeyong Walker, Taeyong Walker, I should probably say his name right. Do you think you're going to get another tweet from him when he's left off the postseason roster?
It would not surprise me. In front of the media, when he's talked to the media after games, he has said all the right things, but Twitter is a completely different animal, and he does not say all the right things on Twitter when he goes on there, especially may or may not be after drinking. Who knows? You know, it's after baseball games. They probably drink, and he probably tweets things when he's drinking, and that's why drunk tweeting is bad for your health.
It's true. Yeah, I think it's worse than not wearing your seatbelt. The Philadelphia Phillies went off against the New York Mets last night. 17 hits as they won 12-2, as you mentioned, to clinch that postseason bid. I love that they only had a toast, because it kind of shows, it sets that mentality that the job is not finished. And that's something that this Phillies squad has not yet to do over the past couple seasons. They've made it to the dance. They've gone to the World Series, but they haven't been able to complete that task. So they're trying to set that tone right away. And I think that's actually really important with this team coming up. They've had some great pitching. They broke the franchise record for most all-stars in Phillies history this year. That's huge. And Ranger Suarez, one of the guys that will be pitching, is going for the NL East title tonight. He'll go against Sean Manaea of the Mets. It's going to be a very good matchup. Before we move on here, what's your thoughts about this one between Ranger Suarez and Sean Manaea?
Yeah, honestly, this is probably the best matchup of the weekend as far as strictly pitching goes, but in this series at least. Ranger Suarez and Sean Manaea, they've been pretty well evenly matched, at least over the past month or two. If it was Ranger Suarez from the beginning of the season, then it would be a little bit of a mismatch, but Ranger Suarez has struggled down the stretch, has been dealing with injuries, some fatigue, back issues, things of that nature. It's going to be a good matchup. It's going to be fun to watch. I could see the Mets winning tonight, just with how well Manaea has pitched of late, I think that the Phillies are going to clinch the National League East on Sunday Night Baseball with Zach Wheeler starting tomorrow against Tylor Megill.
Ooh, that's a good thing right there. I'm sure ESPN would be very happy if something like that came along. We're going to get back to the Mets here in just a minute as we get down to the National League wildcard race, but we'll save that for a little bit later because I have another question for you that kind of ties in with the Phillies. But first, we're going to talk about these New York Yankees, another team that has already clinched the postseason. They're still battling for their division as well, the American League East. And the way they did it yesterday is, well, currently they defeated the Oakland Athletics at the Coliseum. They went 4-2 in extra innings. Juan Soto, who has been battling an injury to his knee, he received an MRI. He did not start in the game, but he did come in and had a clutch pinch hit in the top of the 10th inning to help the Yankees overcome the Oakland A's. One of the things I did notice as well, and I'm sure everybody that paying attention to this game as well saw, Gerrit Cole gets his 7th win of the season after going 9 innings in late September. 9 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 7 strikeouts, and 1 walk for the Yankees to go ahead and pick up their 90th win of the season. They're very close to clinching the AL East, almost like the Phillies. In this case, Baltimore has slumped over the last couple of games. They are starting to pick it back up. We're going to get to them in just a second. But I got to ask you, Troy, this New York Yankees squad, Gerrit Cole going 9 innings in late September when you are – one, possibly two starts away from him pitching in the postseason. Is that a good idea?
With the way his season is gone, I'm not against it. It's the first time that he has completed more than 6 innings. I'm not sure exactly if he's pitched into the 7th inning and just not gotten an out over the season. But for the season, he's only at 88 1/3 innings, and that is well below what he did last year and the year before. I'm not against getting him through 9 innings, and it was only on 99 pitches through the 9 innings. I honestly think that even though it did go extra, so it wasn't technically a complete game, if a pitcher goes 9 innings, I think they should get a complete game on their record book. But he did not. But yeah, I like him going 9 innings. Lets them see that he is capable of doing it even with the injuries that he's had this year. And he's quietly been very good over his last 7 starts. Over his last 7 starts, he has a 2.55 ERA, and that also includes a 7-run outing 7 days ago against the Red Sox, where, you know, he did the intentional walk to Rafael Devers that came back to bite him. But outside of that, if you take away that one outing against the Red Sox, he's got an ERA below 2 over his last 6 starts. Minus that one against the Red Sox. He's
insane. Devers has Gerrit Cole's number even when he walks him. I mean, it's just been crazy. that battle is going to be in history books here very soon. I think I agree with you. I'm a little hesitant, though, just because of how late in the season it's been and because he had injuries at the beginning of the year. But you mentioned it. He's had a great second half of the season. Just many people aren't talking about him because he's not in the Cy Young race because he just wasn't around at the beginning of the season to be, you know, to qualify with those numbers. But if he was, and he was doing the same performance that he has been right now, he would be battling Tarek Skubal for the AL Cy Young. I don't think there would be any question about it.
Absolutely.
You know, Juan Soto was another one. I thought they were going to be able to sit him out. They bring him in as a pinch hit. I'm glad that he at least got some rest in this one. And after he got the hit, he was immediately pinch runned from John Birdie came in for him. So, hey, if all you are going to use is just his bat and his plate discipline, I'm okay with that. You're at 90 wins. You already have a pretty decent lead against the Baltimore Orioles, 4 games up with only 8 games to go. You've already clinched the postseason. You're looking like you're going to clinch the AL East. I think with those 8 games, you ensure that Juan Soto is ready for the postseason because it seems like it's do or die for the Yankees.
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree. It did work out with them for them last night. And I like you said, that they put in John Birdie for the pinch run, but you got to have Juan Soto. Cause if you don't have Juan Soto, your lineup is Aaron Judge. That's
right.
It. That's I mean,
right.
Jazz Chisholm has been great. He has no playoff experience. So you don't know what you're going to get from Jazz Chisholm. Yes. He plays up when the spotlight's on and when the pressure is the heaviest, but you still don't know. The October baseball is a completely different animal. So you don't know what you're going to get from Jazz Chisholm.
I just mentioned the Yankees do or die. We also just mentioned about the Phillies at the beginning of the show. When you look at both of them, the Yankees and the Phillies, how their roster is constructed, their front office, you know, fan and owner expectations, which owner, which organization needs the World Series more?
I think when you break it all down, I got to say the Yankees. I mean, I know that they have, 27 World Series championships in their history, but they haven't had one since 2009, and that's just not very Yankee-like just to go that long without a World Series, especially with how much money that they spend on their roster year after year. They are consistently one of the top two teams in payroll every year, and they have nothing to show for it in the past 15 years. And so I would say that it is the Yankees. And in my opinion, and I know we've mentioned this on an earlier episode, that if they don't win the World Series this year, Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone probably have to be on the outs.
I think that they need to be on the hot seat right now for sure, especially if they don't win their first postseason series, regardless of where that is, if it's in the ALDS or the AL wildcard rounds. I think if they don't make it through that first round, then I think Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman have to go. I don't know if that'll happen, but I do think that needs to be the case. I do think that that needs to have that fire under their, booty before we get ready for the postseason. All right, let's keep in the AL because I think there's some really exciting things that happened yesterday. We are all about milestones this week. Obviously, Shohei Ohtani goes 50-50. But now we see Jose Ramirez, and he's on a close watch now. Picked up his 36th home run. He's already got 40 stolen bases. He's on a close to a 40-40 watch. Not many people lately have been talking about Jose Ramirez, and he's on his way for a 40-40 season. Last year, he had 24 home runs and, let me check his stolen bases, 28 stolen bases. He has obviously stepped up. He's, a lot of people consider him as one of the most underrated superstars in all of baseball. I find it hard not to agree with that statement. Your thoughts about his season so far, leading the Cleveland Guardians to the top of the AL Central right now, and why do you think we don't talk about him enough?
I think it just has to do with just the small market of Cleveland and the American League Central as a whole. Just year after year, the American League Central is just riddled with mediocrity. Yes, this year they have four teams vying for a playoff spot with the Guardians essentially clinching the Central. But I think it just has to do with the American League Central just being a weak division. But Jose Ramirez is a fantastic player regardless of the competition that he's up against. I don't think he's going to get 40-40 just because they have seven games left for him to hit those four home runs. But the season that he has had has been a huge catalyst for the Guardians to get to the point where they are. And with the 90-65 record, they're half a game behind the Yankees for the best record in the American League right now.
274, 332, 517. That goes out to an 849 OPS across the season. Not a bad season for a guy that people aren't talking about. I agree that he's probably not going to reach 40-40. If he did, that would be wild. He needs to have one of those Shohei Ohtani games to get there. But, hey, it's not impossible. We have seen it happen before just a couple days ago. But yep. I think we need to talk about him more. Absolutely. One of the guys we don't need to talk about anymore, but we're going to do it anyways, is Javier Baez. And I love that. And I love that segue. Okay. I apologize if you're a Detroit Tigers fan, but then again, maybe you are already used to this and maybe you're going to be okay with this slander. And the reason behind it is because his injury seems to be, and dare I say, exactly what the Tigers have needed. It's a pretty wild thing if you look at it. There's a tweet that came out the other day. And let me find it here. There it is. Let me update the stats. The Tigers did lose yesterday to the Baltimore Orioles, but since Javier Baez's season-ending injury, the Tigers are 18-8. You have guys like Trey Sweeney who stepped up. He's got over a 680 OPS. His WRC plus has been up to 95, I believe, in the last 25 games. And if you compare that to Javier Baez, he only had a 42 WRC plus in the last 80 games with a 516 OPS. Wow. Without the tweet made a statement and said the Tigers without Baez are a brand new team. It's hard to disagree with that statement. What they've done over the last stretch, going from nine games down to at one point being tied for the final spot in the AL wildcard. They are now one game behind after the loss to the Orioles yesterday. It's got to be an impressive thing. To me, it's very impressive what they've done. The young core of this Detroit Tigers team is so exciting to me. Do you think they have a shot to continue and get into the postseason? And if you do, what do you think their chances are against these AL contenders?
I think they have a shot. They've got a rough matchup right now with an Orioles team that is also trying to secure their October ticket. But without Javi Baez, they are just a completely different team. And I wrote about it yesterday for Sports Illustrated. They're a tiger on the hunt, and they're playing like a predator right now. It's insane. The young core has stepped up massively. Parker Meadows, since the beginning of August, has put up an over 800 OPS, I believe. And I think they have a shot at the postseason. Not sure how deep into the postseason they can get right now, but I think they have a shot at making the postseason, and I think it's going to be even better for them next year.
Yeah, I like their chances in 2025. If they make it in this season in 2024, whatever happens in the postseason, I think that they can be okay with. Just making the dance, I think, is a successful season, especially when you thought you were sellers at the trade deadline. I mean, you didn't think you were. You moved on from Jack Flaherty. You moved on from other couple pieces. Tarek Skubal has obviously just helped and done some amazing things at the mound. He's going to be the AL Cy Young winner. He has answered every question that you can even possibly think of from that guy just lately, finally answering the question of, can he pitch at Kauffman Field against the Royals? I think the Tigers can win baseball games in the postseason right now, but I agree with you. I don't know if they can run the distance, but we've seen some crazier things happen just as of late. We saw some lower seeds just last year be the only teams to make the World Series with the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. So if you make the dance, anything's possible with the way that this new playoff system is set up. The Orioles, they pushed the Tigers back out of the AL wildcard spot. Now they're down one game to the Twins after the Orioles defeated the Tigers. They hit 5 home runs in the game yesterday. Corbin Burns threw an absolute gem. They struggled in their last series against the San Francisco Giants. They walked it off to end the series, and it looks like they've got a little bit of momentum heading into the weekend. I think that the AL East is out of reach with them, with the Baltimore Orioles. It's close. It's 4 games, but with 8 games remaining and the Yankees being the other team, I do think that the Orioles are fighting just for the top wild card spot in the AL. It doesn't mean that's a bad thing because of what happened to them last year, Troy. They won 101 games. They really weren't battle tested at the moment. They had that entire young core, and they didn't win a single playoff game at all in the postseason. Going and playing on wild card weekend right off the bat, I don't know if they call it wild card weekend, but that just sounds right. It sounds a little NFL-y in my mind.
I like it.
Regardless, it kind of seems like they're going to have a little bit more of a tougher schedule, but them having to show grit might actually be a good thing for this team.
Yeah, I agree with you. They've got to be disappointed in this. Yes, they're making the playoffs, but they got to be disappointed after winning 101 games last year to barely breaking 90 this year, even with the wild card spot. But the way they won it with the walk-off against the Giants in their last game of that series and then hitting 5 home runs yesterday, they may have turned the corner. They may have the momentum right now, but yeah, they're fighting to keep that number one wild card spot. I don't think they're catching the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's get into a quick pitch here and take a quick look at the National League wild card race. We got the Padres, who are holding the top spot, and they needed Tatis Jr. to walk it off against the ever-so-tough Chicago White Sox last night. It was a fantastic double to walk it off. Joe Musgrove looked good. They are 4 games behind the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it's about the same as the Orioles and the Yankees with 8 games remaining to go. Do you think the San Diego Padres can catch the Dodgers?
Yeah, with 8 games left, I don't think they can either. I think that they may have a little better shot than the Orioles just because they have a lot more experience on their roster and they have more pitching than just Corbin Burns. But I also don't think that the Padres are going to catch the Dodgers. I think they're pretty well cemented into a wild card spot, but the division itself is out of reach at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought that the Dodgers were going to be dethroned from the NL West this year, but I think that there's just running out of time. I think it's going to get close, though. I think I'll go ahead and make a prediction now, but when the season is over, the Padres will only be 2 games behind the Dodgers when it's all said and done. And I think that's a good feat if you're the San Diego Padres after what happened last season with the meltdown. You remember you seeing guys like Tatis and Machado in the dugout. Was that last year or the year before? Can't remember. It all mixes together. Regardless, that's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, the Mets we talked about a little bit. They lost to the Phillies 12-2. The Braves couldn't capitalize. They wind up losing against the Miami Marlins last night by a score of 4-3. Charlie Morton couldn't hold it together early in the game, and they wind up losing this one. The Braves are still 2 games down. The Diamondbacks picked up another win against the already playoff-clinching Milwaukee Brewers. They won 7-4. So the Diamondbacks have a 3-game lead on the Braves. The Mets have a 2-game lead on the Braves. 8 games remaining. Can the Braves do it? Can they find a way to get into the postseason, or is it time to start packing up Truist Park?
I think the Braves can do it. I think that they have to win today and tomorrow against the Marlins in order to keep in the race, but they do still have 3 games against the Mets coming up. They have today and tomorrow against the Marlins. They're off Monday. Then they have 3 against the Mets and then 3 against the Royals. And the Royals may be in the same situation that the Brewers are in at that point, where they're just kind of on cruise control, trying to get to October, trying to make it to October without any injuries or really trying to exhaust anybody more than they already are. And but with the 3 against the Mets, I think that the Atlanta Braves have to win today and tomorrow, and then probably take 2 of 3 from the Mets over the 3-game series coming up this week.
I'm with you. I agree. I mentioned over on Braves Today with Lindsay. If you haven't checked that out, that's our other podcast, Braves Today, and you can see some of the work as well at bravestoday.com. I mentioned that I think that at the bare minimum, you have to remain 2 games behind heading into that Mets series. What that means is that if the Mets win, you have to win. If the Mets lose, you should probably also win, because that'd put you in 1 game only behind heading into the series. There's a chance still, if the Phillies finish off the Mets this weekend and the Braves win out, we could head into that Mets series with them both tied for the final wild card spot. I think that's what all the fans would love to see.
Could you imagine?
It would be exactly what you'd want for the last week of September baseball. So that's what I'm rooting for. So I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm rooting for the Phillies this weekend. Look at that.
Me too.
All right. Final thing here. The Houston Astros win 9-7 against the Los Angeles Angels, but they didn't do it without some dramatic things. Justin Verlander, the love of Old Dominion, my boy, right? Goes 4.2 innings last night, allows 8 hits, allows 6 earned runs, only 4 strikeouts and 1 walk. He gets a standing ovation when he's leaving the mound on Minute Maid Park, because it could be the last time that he pitches for the Houston Astros. There's some questions circulating on what his status will be in the playoffs. Will he even make the playoff roster? Will he be in the rotation? Will he go in the bullpen? Before I throw it over to you, here's my thoughts about Verlander. And I'm going to put a piece out here that's going to come out at some point today on Sports Illustrated, and I hope you guys check it out. But I think that you have to keep his playoff pedigree on the roster, but I don't think it has to be in the rotation. I think since he's came back from his injury this season, he hasn't been the best Justin Verlander that you could have. He's 41 years old. You have to remember, a couple years ago, he came off Tommy John surgery, where we thought it was already over for Justin Verlander, and instead he turned it into a Cy Young season. So in my mind, and I think most baseball fans can agree, if you pay attention to Justin Verlander, that he's playing on house money. What he's got right now, he's doing some great things. He's already, in my mind, a Hall of Famer. He will be in Cooperstown. There's no doubt about that to me. But I think you need to have him on the playoff roster, Troy. And this is where I go back to. In 2019, against the Houston Astros, the Washington Nationals put a guy that they just traded for named Patrick Corbin into the bullpen. And it turned out to be a very good asset for the team to win their first World Series in the city's history. Justin Verlander, I think, would be a great fit for that role moving into October for the Astros. What's your thoughts about this? I think that he could still perform at a high level in the postseason. We've seen him do it before. I know he doesn't have the best playoff pedigree, the best playoff record in his career. However, having a guy like that could come in high leverage situations, with an already solid rotation. I mean, this is not a problem. He's not having the best year, but the players around him and the trades they made at the deadline, the Hunter Browns, the Framber Valdez, the Kikuchis, you know, Spencer Arangetti, all those names can fill in the rotation. But having a guy like Verlander come in a high leverage situation, maybe the second time through the order, third time through the order of one of these guys, I think would be huge for the Astros getting back to their eighth straight ALCS. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, you and I have not discussed this really at all, but I do agree with you with just his pedigree. I think that he deserves a playoff roster spot, even with that being in the bullpen. I 100% agree with you just across the board. I think he deserves to be on the playoff roster, but in the bullpen. I don't think he should be in the rotation just with how much he has struggled of late. And part of that he could still be dealing with the injuries. He could get rest in the offseason and come back and pitch in 2025 and win a Cy Young again. Who knows? But it's I think that he deserves the playoff roster spot. Will he get it? That's still yet to be seen, but I do think he deserves it, even for a role in the bullpen.
If they did start him for a playoff game, just because it seems like the right thing to do, or like the thing to do, because it's Justin Verlander, that's like his status, right? It would be a short-lived start. He would be piggybacked with somebody else, like a Spencer Arangetti, like a Hunter Brown, and I don't think that's a bad thing. You get him one time through the rotation, and then you move on to a guy like Hunter Brown or Spencer Arangetti, who throws completely different. I mean, that's a huge thing against a team like possibly the Baltimore Orioles or possibly the Kansas City Royals when you're trying to figure out how to stop one of those young squads. So I'm not against it, but I do think the comparison to Patrick Corbin is an interesting one for Justin Verlander here. And that's the only time I'll ever compare Patrick Corbin to Justin Verlander. But what happened in 2019, he did really well in the postseason for them. There were some clutch moments that he would come in and take care of business. And he helped defeat the Brewers, helped defeat the Dodgers, and get themselves to the World Series. So I don't hate it. I don't hate it. But I do want to see Justin Verlander on the playoff roster. I hope it happens. Make it happen, Houston. Even if it's just for the first series, if it doesn't work moving forward, you can change it then. But I think for the, in this case, probably the wild card round, I don't think they're going to get the bye. I think they're going to be the only division team that doesn't make it. So for that AL wild card round, Justin Verlander should be on your playoff roster, barring any other injuries or setbacks.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. 100%.
All right. That'll do it here for this episode of First Pitch. Thank you so much for listening on this Saturday. We'll be back here on Monday. It's going to be another great week of baseball. We're entering the final week of the regular season once we get to talk to you on Monday. So we'll have plenty to talk about. We'll get into this American League wildcard race. We'll get into the American League East race, National League East race. Will the Dodgers still hold on once we get to this weekend? And then, of course, that crazy National League wildcard race. We'll get more milestone watches of Jose Ramirez. Will he reach 40-40? Will a guy like Gunnar Henderson, we didn't talk about him, but will a guy like Gunnar Henderson get to the 40-20 mark? Will he be the third shortstop in MLB history to do so? We'll talk about all that stuff on this next episode coming this Monday on First Pitch.